years.
4.5 years without a head.
Yes.
Please explain how that could...
Well, I think this, you know, we've all heard that saying, we only use 10% of our brain, right? So I guess that goes for chickens as well. And what they did is they cut off the 90%, but left the 10% that the chicken normally, I guess, uses. Because what's fascinating about it, now they said...
Wait, I got a million questions. Number one, why wouldn't Mike have bled to death?
I don't know. You know, you can it beats me. I don't know that particular aspect of the story. Apparently,
clotted up or something.
It clotted up.
This is so gory. And Mike was fed through the opening in his neck.
Yes, with an eyedropper. What had happened was, you know, he beheaded the chicken, and he tried to leave, like you said, most of the neck on, because his mother-in-law liked the neck. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting people try this with their chicken.
Well, I mean,
like you said, if they tried it, they tried to do it again
and didn't do it,
and they were not successful. So there was a certain freakiness about this. But in any case, when the scientists, when he went around, he went to Los Angeles, he went to New York, and he went to Atlantic City, and he took it to scientists in the, I believe it was Salt Lake City right away.
Yeah.
Because Frida, I'm not quite sure the pronunciation, that's on the western slope of Colorado.
Right.
So he took it to the university in Utah, and they determined that the brain stem was still intact. Okay?
All right. Well, now, what does the brain stem do?
The brain stem is the top of the spinal cord. Okay?
But it's not the brain.
We call it the scientists have begun to call it the reptile brain. It is the brain.
It is the brain.
It is. Oh, yes. It controls. Now, humans also have this reptilian brain, or the brain stem, and it's the most inner part of the brain. Your brain is kind of like...
But, Mike... Now could no longer hear anything.
Yes.
Mike could no longer see anything.
Yes. The brain stem, or the reptile brain, houses all the instinctual behavior, all the pre-programmed old learning. It keeps your heart beating. It keeps your lungs breathing.
Right.
You know, we've told this joke again, but it's a good joke. The brain stem, or the reptile brain, controls the four F's of behavior: feeding, fighting, fleeing, and reproduction. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the reptile brain.
So in other words, Mike...
No, that was all intact. That was not chopped off.
So in other words, Mike could still, for a chicken, get horny.
Yes, and the farmer reported that Mike would since Mike was a rooster, he would try to crow, but since he no longer had the vocal, the beak to make the crowing noise, sort of gurgling would came out.
Gurgle.
He would attempt to tuck what would have been his head under his wing at night. He would still march around the hen house, preening for the other hens hens. So he went through all the programmed chicken behavior.
What about anger now, or fighting? In other words, chickens in a coop fight, don't they sometimes?
Yes.
He was taken
out of the coop to put on show, so I don't know that he had.
So they didn't
an
observe that behavior.
To fight with other chickens after a while there.
Well, did he show any apparent anger over the person who had lopped his head off?
Apparently not. I don't know what he might have done had he gotten angry. But that's, you know, the fight or flight types of behaviors are also stored in the reptilian brain.
So that was very much all of those functions then that you're describing are in the stem of the brain.
Yes.
And of course, there have been people also, have there not, have there been people who have lived with a disconnection, in other words, nothing much more than the stem?
Yes, there's many cases of this. There's a terrible disease hydroencephalitis, in which the ventricles, this is inside your brain, you have small cavities that are filled with cerebral spinal fluid,
right,
deep inside the brain.
Right.
And it, normally these are very small. If a person has this disease, the ventricles enlarge and the cavities enlarge, and this fluid is very acidic, so it begins to eat away the inside of the brain, kind of from the inside out. And there have been many cases in which they've been able to determine by surgery after the person died, but more importantly, while the person was alive, by taking PET scans or the MRI scans, in which you can actually look inside the cranium. And people have been left with nothing more than 1/6 of an inch outer layer of the outermost layer of the brain, and the rest of the brain has been dissolved.
When you first told me about this, I didn't believe it, and I joked about it. I said, I call them STEM people, and I shouldn't have joked about it because, as usual, it turns out it was true. I just flat didn't believe it, that you couldn't live without your brain.
Yes, you can go to the library and you can find good photographic evidence of this. And they maintain their IQ up until death. Now, eventually...
Wait. What do you mean they maintain their IQ?
I've often said that, and it's a very popular folk saying that we only use 10% or less of our brain. That we're only using a very small percentage of our brain.
Or need a very small percentage.
In the case of the chicken, you know, this was pretty evident. The chicken went on doing all its chicken things with most of its brain taken away.
And they really did not notice any specific... obviously, there would have to be some behavioral changes. In other words, Mike could no longer eat and peck about as a chicken.
Oh, he went through the motions of pecking.
What?
He went through the motions of pecking. He did all the regular chicken stuff.
Oh, man.
Because chicken intelligence, you know, I don't know if there's any higher chicken intelligence, but...
Well, there must be. I mean, what's the rest of the chicken brain for? Simply to process hearing?
It's the same question we ask ourselves. If we're only using 1% of our brain, what's the rest of our brain for? And these people who have this disease in which just the very, very smallest outer part of their cerebrum is left, and these people continue living completely normal lives, we have to ask ourselves, well, wait a minute. What is the rest of that brain for?
That's where you come in.
Yeah. Well, there's another good example of that. There's a surgery in very severe cases of epilepsy. They perform a surgery these days called hemispherectomy, and this is where they completely remove one entire hemisphere of the brain. And this...
We have left and right, right?
Our brain is divided.
So in other words, they take half the brain out.
They take half the brain out, because the problem in the epileptic seizures has to do with this... I'm not totally clear on what causes epilepsy, but they know if they take half of one of the hemispheres away, it keeps the seizures from happening. And I recall listening to a fellow who went to medical school and became a doctor after he had his hemispherectomy. And the half of the brain that was left in his skull took over all the functions that the missing half used to do.
All right. Since we have now proven this with Mike, the headless... How long did he live again?
4.5 years.
Four and a half years without a head. Since we've proven that with the macabre but true story, when we come back, we'll talk about what that other part of our brain is for. I'm Art Bell, and with me tonight in the first hour is Neil Slade. By the way, National Brain Awareness Week was March 16th through the 22nd. Did you miss it? Or did you not even give it a second thought? I'm Art Bell. This is Coast to Coast AM.
You're listening to Art Bell, Somewhere in Time, on Premier Radio Networks. Tonight, an encore presentation of Coast to Coast AM from May 18th, 1999.